Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey, just wanted to take a quick break from this episode so I could tell you guys about how I just launched my new Patreon page. If you don't know about Patreon, it's a great way for people to support creators with a monthly subscription. Becoming a Patreon supporter can even come with a few perks, like early access to new episodes and getting special shoutouts on the podcast. I've recently started working part-time at my job so I can focus more time and energy on the podcast and YouTube channel. So any support would be massively appreciated, and it helps me towards my hope of making this my full-time job someday. So if you want to help support me in that, please head over to patreon.com/hooptheory. That's Patreon, patreon.com/hooptheory. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the rest of the show. Welcome to the Dominique Wilkins episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 82, which is in honor of him being selected in the 1982 NBA draft. My name is Logan Wortman, recording this one on the evening of Tuesday, April 30th, and as usual, I am joined by my aggressive co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Dominique Wilkins episode?
It feels pretty good. Feels fitting that this individual gets an episode.
Yeah, really good
one. I feel like there's very few episodes where it doesn't feel fitting. There's a couple of them that you're like, okay, it seems a little weird, but this is not one of those. This one is
definitely not.
Definitely deserving of an episode, and looking forward to it. We got a good one. Oh, my camera decided to have a blur attack, but we're good now. So,
Dominique Wilkins, though, he's one of those that I had to check to make sure, because it felt like, oh, he probably has had his own episode, right? But no, he wears jersey number 21, which, you know, obviously goes to Tim Duncan. So there wasn't really an opportunity for him to get one before, other than maybe career high. But I think that might have been taken by somebody else or something like that. Not sure what it is off the top of my head. But 1982 draft, James Worthy was the first overall pick, but I'd say Dominique Wilkins is the best individual player coming out of there. And also, he was like unarguably the best player to not make the original NBA top 50 players of all time. And everybody was very happy to see him get added in when they did the top 75.
I always wonder if they were like, let's write his name down first.
Yeah.
So we don't forget. Uh-huh. Is he one? No, but we need to write his name down so we don't forget. Mm-hmm. So that would be something I would have liked to be a fly on the wall. Like, that would also be cool, is what's the order they came up with the names in that first meeting? Obviously, the second one, you've got your base 50. Mm-hmm. And if you have the 50, you're locked in, right? Or do they kick people out?
They technically were not locked in, but everybody that made the top 50. Yeah, everybody that made the top 50 were voted in again in this go-round.
I think that might change for the, well, probably not for the 100. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's like a lot of guys that weren't eligible or like weren't a part of that in this wave of players that might shake things up like that. Anyway, we've got like 23 years for that, so why would you think about it now?
That's true. Yeah, it's a
right?
It's a ways away.
Or 20, it's a minute out.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels pretty good to bring it back. It feels pretty good to be on the Dominique Wilkins episode. We are in the heat of the playoffs. Some teams have already secured their second round.
Yeah.
Some teams have not. Some teams are in the dog days of the first round. We've got Bucks fighting for their life tonight. Cavs Magic is in the heat of things, Clippers and Mavericks. They are also duking it out. But a team that did secure and punch their ticket to the second round was your Denver Nuggets, Logan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very exciting.
I am a proponent of let the boys play. Let the guys get out there and play. But at the end of game five, mm-hmm. Taurean Prince pulled up for a hope, a prayer, of half-court shot, in the truest essence, a half-court shot. And it felt a little bit high on the contact.
Yeah, so, I would agree.
And I get it's playoffs, and I get that half-court shots, buzzer beaters, are kind of in like the same territory as like Hail Marys in football, where like the contact's got to be kind of egregious mm-hmm. for it to go.
Yeah, which I don't think it was like egregious, personally. But
I don't either, but I feel like in that situation, you blow the whistle, I think.
Really?
If his arm didn't get catapulted, I think so.
If his arm didn't get catapulted.
Like catapulted where the momentum was forward and then it stopped on another entity.
Oh, so you do think so? Like it should have been.
I get why there wasn't. It's playoff basketball. It's like, but it's also, I feel like that was quite a bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I honestly are people talking about this? Because I have not heard anything about this. I don't go on Twitter or anything like that.
I haven't seen like
much.
A ton of it.
Okay.
I just feel like it's worth noting.
Did like players bring it up in the post game at all?
No.
No?
The only person that I saw bring it up was like in the call, Jason Kosmicki, the Nuggets sports cast guy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Nugget Sports Cast.
The altitude play-by-play guy. His name is Jason Kosmicki.
No, it's not. Wow, I'm forgetting. Chris Marlowe is the play-by-play Nuggets.
The
guy.
Radio
has been
affiliate
since,
of altitude, maybe?
Maybe it's the radio, yeah.
The guy that I know is the Nuggets play-by-play guy, which is the radio half. I think it's like 92.5 altitude.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, his name's Jason Kosmicki. Fun fact, he's a Nebraskan. He's from Alliance, I think. Anyway, doesn't matter. He was like, in his call, was like, take that L and take that foul with you, or take that no call with you, or take that whistle with something to that essence. Mm. And I didn't really think anything of it because of the moment. But then after that, I heard that. I went and like, I watched it a couple times, and the contact was like, I get why it's playoff basketball. You don't call that. But it was also, it just felt weird. I don't think it is a hot topic of debate. Because I also think that everyone acknowledges that the Nuggets would have had their way in overtime and it doesn't impact anything other than more minutes.
Yeah, who knows? But I'm not.
Other than maybe the momentum of that, like the free throws. And he'd have to make all three or two for it to matter at all. All three for it to, but. I just thought that it was like, because I don't remember who the defender was, but it's pretty much
Jamal,
like,
I think. Off the top of my head, feels like it was Jamal.
I felt like Jamal was like way, anyway,
it
doesn't matter.
It could have been. Yeah, well.
It was, yeah. So because Taurean Prince essentially caught it on the Nuggets logo. I combined logo and Nuggets. Anyway,
yeah.
The Nuggets logo, and then turned to shoot, and then as he went forward, A Nugget just kind of like softly speared him.
Like, yeah, at the very least,
on the landing, it was like a shoulder.
Yeah, at the very least, he was directly, like, definitely in his
landing zone. At the minimum.
Yeah, which it was like a heave, so it's not like your normal jump shot motion. You know, it's like he's going forward with his momentum, Taurean Prince is.
Yeah.
And he kind of met him right there
And like I said, half-court heaves at the buzzer are like the same territory as Hail Marys in football, where it's like the rules exist, but it's got to be pretty like arm gets chopped type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't know, like you didn't think anything of it when the shot went up. You didn't even
a
like,
little. I thought for a split second, like, oh, that looked a little physical,
like a little bit a lot.
And I felt like maybe I could definitely see LeBron in a post-game interview or somebody, like, you know, talking about that. So I was like, I wonder if I'll see something about that later.
That's KCP.
Oh, it's KCP. Okay.
Right. He's KCP's yeah. five. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make sense. But I thought that maybe like I would hear about it later from like players complaining or something like that. And I thought that would have, you know, somewhat of a point. But I honestly, like, even when you said, like, we were texting about, you know, planning this episode before, and you said that you wanted to open up with Nuggets, Lakers, and you wanted to play devil's advocate. And I was like, in my mind,
that spoils that I'm making this all up and it's a facade. It definitely wasn't a foul. That's playoff basketball. Grow
well,
up.
You started it off by saying that I'm you tend to lean that way, you know?
It's definitely playoff basketball. I just was, I don't, if there's a universe where that gets called, if it was like a Steph proper pull up and then KCP ran into him, that would mm-hmm. be different. But like you said, it was like a lunge forward shot.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would have been really tough to make that call there, like, and actually give them. I kind of wish there was something in between, but then if it's something in between, it doesn't even matter.
Or they like
ultimately
blow the whistle and they can check or something,
or like
that's
get one
lame
free throw. But then if they get one, it doesn't even matter
doesn't
at
matter.
All.
Yeah.
You know? So because it's tough to be like, oh, you kind of fouled him on a half court shot that had very little chance of going in. So they get three free throws. You know what I mean? That feels a little.
Well, because then my thought is, just get the heck out of the way if you're the Nuggets. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I will happily let, if Torian Prince forces us to go six games by nailing that because we don't contest it hard enough, I'll be a bummed, but I can like, okay.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't contest it hard enough because we didn't want to foul, if he just buries it, I would be like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, Baylor legend Torian Prince.
Yeah, but to be fair, they were letting lots of stuff go. Like they even,
yes, and that's also important to note.
Even on review, towards the end of the game, in the last 5 minutes, I don't remember when exactly it was, but that foul they called on AD when AD was defending Jokic, you know, post move. So they called that initially a foul, and then the Lakers challenged it, and they changed it to like that it was a clean block because like the. All the contact on the body and with the offhand was not, I think the referee, the term he used was it did not affect the play, which is like, what? Like, I don't know if you can say that very confidently. That kind of bothers me that you can say that confidently. I'm okay with like saying that ultimately isn't a foul, but it is very inconsistent with the way the NBA has been called for years.
Yeah. And also worth noting, you brought up like the last 2 minute report. There was only one incorrect no call or one incorrect call in the last 2 minutes, according to the last 2 minute report. And it was when Aaron Gordon went up for a layup and then like Austin Reeves, the Great White Hope, like
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Grabbed his arm and then like dropped.
Yeah.
Like a cannonball. Mm-hmm. Like to like, that was the only incorrect no call.
Yeah, I remember that play. Mm-hmm.
And I pulled it up. The Caldwell Pope is in a legally obtained position when Prince's momentum causes him to drift forward into Caldwell Pope as he releases his jump shot attempt. So it's exactly what you said. Because it was kind of that launch,
mm-hmm.
it was the correct no call. Or launch into the defender who was in a legally obtained defensive position.
Mm.
So I just wanted to touch on that. And I think that this is a good segue to just jump into the Lakers and Jet, like that matchup. You've made it through. Phew. There was a couple close ones. You had some like all-time games,
mm-hmm.
Like in terms of Nuggets side, like probably NBA history, none of, because it was a first round game, but like Jamal Murray is permanently in Nuggets highlight reels.
Oh yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Yeah. The fact that he did that twice in the same series.
Same half of the court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, different spots, but like
same
probably,
scenario.
I wonder
tied.
How many feet was it? That's what was it close to the same? Like, because they were both like kind of mid twos.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. About distance, you're saying?
Like how many? Yeah, how many feet it was? Because
it was probably pretty close to the same. Honestly,
there were different. Because one of them was near the far side.
It was
like,
on the right. The, yeah, on the right side. The other one was on the left. This past one was on the left.
and a lot less deep, if I'm remembering right. The first one felt like it was deeper into the... He was pretty much shooting from the corner three, except it was a mid-range. This one did not feel that deep.
I don't think the first one is quite that deep, but it was kind of like the Kawhi, maybe a little bit closer than the Kawhi fading out of bounds one.
Yeah.
But not quite as toward the baseline as that either. It was just still a little bit, you know, diagonal still. Jamal's just, in the fact, like, I didn't even, was not surprised, especially at the first one, because of how hot Jamal was leading up to that play. He had made like the same
last seven.
Yeah, and he made like the same exact type of shot like three plays before that. And so like when it went in, it was like just this, like it was crazy, but I also was just like, I was expecting that to go in. And then this past one, it was a little bit more surprising, but I still was like, right before he shot it, I was like, he's going to do it again. I feel like he's going to do it again. And he did it again. And what's weird is Jamal had two game winners in this series. And I think he probably, you could argue he might be second, but I feel like he was probably the third best Nugget in this series.
Yeah.
Behind obviously Jokic, but Michael Porter Jr. was just an animal all series long. I love that. I love seeing that.
I also do think that it is worth noting the valiant efforts of Aaron Gordon defensively.
Yeah. Because
I feel like when LeBron was like going Super Saiyan, I'm in the GOAT conversation mode, Aaron Gordon like slowed either the build up to it or made it rough on him and wore him down, even though it was only five games here. I feel like that is worth noting as well.
And the other outside, and all, on top of that, like when he wasn't slowing down LeBron, it was because he was on AD, slowing down AD.
Yeah, no, he did not enough, because I think Michael Porter Jr. had a very valiant playoff run. Shout out to him for having a lot of craziness going on in his personal life to be able to still get things done when the Nuggets need him to.
Yeah, you know? And speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up. I just want to give a... I'm sure the people that this is directed towards aren't listening to this, but I'm going to speak as though they are.
Yeah.
Some of the people I follow that are Nuggets fans on Twitter need to just chill out with the... If, like, somebody is going through something very serious in their life, as serious as their brother getting, you know, going to prison for...
A long
time. You
know,
killing somebody in a drunk driving
accident. Expected to go to prison for, like, a double-digit number of years.
Yeah, like a crazy life-altering, you know, thing.
Event.
Don't start just talking... Don't like, directly tweet at that person telling them about how they need to lock in on basketball and stuff. Like, just don't do that. It makes sense if he wants to do that. If he, like he did, you know, he said what he's doing is to just, you know, zone that out and just lock in on the playoffs and everything. That's completely fine. If he chooses
lean
to
on
do
his
that.
Teammates and just go in. Yeah.
Yeah. But as Nuggets fans, we should not be saying, all right, Michael, let's, you know, just hunker down and lock in. Like, just forget about all that. Like, just take a chill pill.
I block those people in Celtics world.
Yeah. That makes
because
sense.
Now the people that I have, all of us tweeted today, like, can I donate my right calf? Like, is that like a feasible medical procedure? And if so, does it speed up his recovery? Like, obviously we know that it wouldn't. But like the joke all year has been like, take my knees.
Uh-huh.
But like if there was actually a medical way, I'm talking about Kristaps for everybody that doesn't know, has a right calf strain. They still haven't released the grade of it. So nobody knows if it's leaning more 2 to 3 weeks or leaning more 4 to 6.
But he is going to be out for sure next game?
Yes, for sure he's out next game.
Okay.
I think that what I have heard from looking, and then my brother-in-law is a lot smarter than me medically-wise, shout out, he broke down, he's like, because I said, okay, best case scenario, it's grade one. If the Eastern Conference Finals, if we get there, get dicey, could he be back? And he's like, if it's grade one, absolutely. I said, if it's grade two, he'd be like, it'd be best if you could make it not dicey without him, which I don't know if that's possible.
Because
he's a big piece of what makes a lot of it work. And more, I'm worried about the strain on Al a little bit, like putting more minutes on Al when I'd rather have him be there for like, because he's going to have to play like a lot more minutes against if it is the Nuggets in the finals. We will need Al Horford to be like ready really bad.
I think both you can say the same thing about both teams. Both teams would need everybody at like in terms
if
of
the
their,
other team is perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
You would need everybody to give them your best shot. But
which both of our teams are looking like they might be a little bit banged up With Jamal, speaking of calf strain, I'm not sure if it's right, but that's what he's playing through right now is a calf strain.
Sorry.
What were you going to say?
I thought it was higher in his leg. I thought it was like a hammy something, but
it's calf.
I'm probably
for sure.
Definitely wrong.
But that's also an injury that he suffered toward the end of the regular season, and it's just kind of ongoing. So I don't think this is a new one, at least.
Yeah, that's the other thing that scares me is like KD, his initial injury was
calf
right
strain.
Calf strain mm-hmm. or sprain, whatever.
Strain.
And then
yeah.
he tore his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that rushing people back is never worth it unless you are promised and guaranteed a Larry O'Brien, which no one ever is. So it means it's almost never worth super rushing him back. Like, okay, you're supposed to have 3 more nights, but we have a game. You can play. Like, you feel fine. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But,
yeah.
like, cutting weeks off is not worth it, I don't think.
Apparently,
especially when
the whole Nuggets staff and Michael Malone, everybody was, like, against Jamal playing last night. But he decided
chose
to anyways.
To.
Yeah.
But I think that anything else you wanted to touch on that Lakers series specifically, I feel like we'll have a whole like breakdown in the off season of like things. But is there anything in that specific series you feel like the Nuggets need to be worried? And we'll talk about it later. The Nuggets upcoming series might be their hardest, and it
yeah.
might not be close.
Yeah, for sure. Even though this one was pretty tough, like just like last year, you know, it was our closest series in terms of point differential, even though it was a sweep. I believe it was a point differential of 24 last year. This year, it was only 11. So the Nuggets outscored the Lakers by a total of 11 points this series.
To win in 5 games.
In 5 games,
but that
yeah.
also leans to like the Nuggets' weird superpower is close games, we don't lose
yeah.
almost ever.
Uh-huh. And so. The even better stat for that is, even though the Nuggets led maybe for the majority of last night's game, that was the only game that I felt like that, at least. This overall in the series, the Lakers led for like 80% of the minutes. Something crazy like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is just nuts. But I think, and it was even higher before last night's game. It was like the Nuggets were only in the lead when it really mattered at the very end. So that's just kind of wild to think about. But the other thing, though, I would like to touch on before we close out this series is the Lakers side of things with, like, if you would have told me that we would have got like a full like 5 games of just great AD performances on top of just, you know, 5 games straight of great LeBron performances, like I would have been like, that sounds like a really tough series, which it was.
It was.
It's
just because the
wild
final says 4-1, it still was a tough series.
Uh-huh. It's just wild that even with, you know, the Nuggets having injuries with Reggie Jackson, KCP, and now Jamal, all of them are playing through them, but and then Jamal not having the best series for most of it in terms of his shooting, we were still able to pull all those games out, playing against like 2 of the greatest players of all time, you know, doing their absolute best. So that's just pretty wild to think about. And Jokic is just putting together, like every series, it feels like Jokic plays in the playoffs, he's like putting up every other player's like masterpiece of a series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like every couple games he has like, that type of, it's not necessarily, but it's close. It's every other game or it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Like this series, he averaged 28, 16, and 10. And he had 2 Sambor doubles as well as 2 triple doubles. And Sambor doubles, for those who don't know, are when he has 9 assists and, you know, above 10 of the other categories.
A triple double where you're an assist short.
Yeah. And then the other game, he had 7 assists instead of 9. So that's how ridiculous each game was. And also, one of the Sambor doubles he had was a 20-20-9. It was 25-20-9. That was last night. And then he had the other 27-20-10. So
game
he's
one,
very
right?
close to adding. That was game 2, was 27-20-10. Game 1, he had 32-12-7, I believe. It's just every game that he puts up, it's like something just wild. And you know, he almost had another one of those 20-20-10 games in the playoffs, which he's the only one who's had more than one of those, and he has 4 by himself. So it's just a wild journey to go on being a fan of that guy, and I'm loving every minute of it. So hopefully it continues. Hopefully we can go to a game. Obviously in the finals, if that is what happens. But I would like, I really want to convince you to go to a Minnesota Timberwolves game.
It won't be that hard. It'll just be a finding a time that it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The desire is not missing. It is definitely there.
We need
it's
to see
the figuring out the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
No, yes. And I'll take my buddy's aunt jersey that I got him and I'll wear it. Just kidding. I don't know what I'd do. I do know what I would do. I would for sure scour both of the rosters for Celtic and buy their super on sale Celtics gear. Maybe I'll get like a Jeff Green Celtic shirt and I'll wear that even though he's not.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Not a nugget anymore. He is in spirit. Anyway,
yeah.
Moving past that, we've already dabbled in it a little bit. We talked about KCP a tiny bit. We talked about Jamal and the other nuggets that are banged up. Injuries. Unfortunately, when we look back into the NBA 100 season, oh, remember that great 2024 finals? The Celtics won it in seven. The whole playoffs was plagued with injury, as we're seeing a lot of them kind of play out tonight even. Just to name a few, like Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Multiple Giannis, injuries Dame, with him.
Yeah. Giannis, Dame. I'm missing a giant one.
Well, Jimmy I guess Butler. Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Mm-hmm. KP. Zion.
Zion.
Kawhi.
Kawhi has been, yeah. So, there's just injuries everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm just curious to see, like, how it'll, in the long run of things, like, because obviously it's impacting series. Like, that's just the plain and short of it. Joel Embiid, I will bring it up again, absolute dog. I will not be shocked if we come out and is like, yeah, his meniscus is just flopping around in there and he's just playing through it because he needs to. Or did he get it taken out? Is that what the surgery had?
I think that must have been what it was based off of how fast he came back.
Also, another thing, everyone that's like angry about Joel Embiid not playing well, he had knee surgery in February.
Mm-hmm. And the right side of it or the left side of his face doesn't work.
not all the time. I was just, yeah, it works again.
He has Bell's palsy though, right?
That's not a permanent thing.
Yeah, but it's going on. It is pretty permanent for the temporary time being. Like it's while he's going, it's this like 6 week period or whatever, however long it lasts. Like he's had every game of this series, he has not been able to close his left eye.
Yeah,
which
it just got really really bad when he got tired or something, and his like whole left face of his side of his face drooped, and that's when everybody like noticed it.
Yeah.
But that's wild. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
And they're duking it out as we are speaking, 74-70 with 10:37. Left in the fourth. If this is going to be way late, but that's where we're at, Logan, currently with that game, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's done, I think he's done a lot of good for him. Obviously, he's like one of the only reasons they won a game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his 50 point, that was his playoff masterpiece of his career, for sure.
Yeah. And to think that it's going to not mean nothing, but like just with how just beat up everything is. And that's the other thing is what else are these? That could be a whole different thing. I got to stay on track. So that one is a big one. The Dame and Giannis conundrum. I'm just confused on like, they must be worse than they're letting on. Cause like an elimination game, you'd have to just play, right? Unless you can't.
Yeah, I would think. Or unless they're just throwing in the towel also. Like they don't think they can do it this year. Like even if they do win this series, you know, they don't.
Then you get. Yeah, you just have a lot of mountains to climb still,
mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. The Jimmy Butler one, I think, is like very clear and obvious where that is detrimental to the Heat. It required a franchise historic night to even get one game.
Yeah,
from the Celtics, and the other three have looked identical to each other in the fact that it wasn't really a close game. Celtics send out like some of the bench guys. The Heat hit a couple threes. It looks closer than it actually was. Mm. And that's just how every game has been rinse and repeat outside of game two, where the Heat shot You gotta throw the stat out there for people again, because it's insanity. 23 for 43. No, that's better than that. I might be wrong even. I was like all confident because I looked at my numbers earlier.
That sounds right to me. It was in that range for sure. They took over in the 40s and they made in the 20s for sure was what it was, which is, yeah, very, very wild, especially with them. They're like not a high three-point shooting team at all normally.
Yeah. And they'll Terry Rozier is another guy that is out that is hurting them. Yeah. I don't think he'd be enough to like tip the
scale.
The scale necessarily alone.
Josh Richardson is another guy, but probably even less important.
It was 23 for 43.
Yeah, 23-43. But yeah, that is pretty wild. That sounds like a game the Celtics have had multiple times though this season. But they're a very different team.
Yes, that's kind of like what they're built on.
Yeah.
And it was also one of the worst offensive performances we've seen Kristaps and Green. Just not on. And it was fine. I mean, it happens. I'd rather have an off night now than hopefully when they're playing in June.
Mm-hmm.
Day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, stop wearing your green jerseys at home, Boston. You always lose. I'm not that suspicious or superstitious, but wearing your base green, whatever you want to call the jersey, at home, stop doing it.
It's a curse. Is it like a crazy stat, like how many times they lose?
It's one for the last six they've won when they've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the Heat losses in Boston, like in the game last year.
Oh, it's only playoffs. Is that
yes.
Right? Okay, gotcha.
Yes, it's the playoff super thing, superstition. Mm-hmm. It's like why the Cowboys, I guess they do it in the regular season, but they always wear white.
Yeah. Because
all their Super Bowls, they're wearing white. Anyway, I'll have a little Celtics corner, I'm sure, later on in the time we're here. But any other notable injuries that you can think of that, it's just weird to think that like this what so far has been an absolutely awesome playoffs, will probably be remembered more for the injuries than like some of the crazy performances and crazy games we're getting.
Yeah. I don't know if there's, I mean, obviously the Milwaukee one could have tilted that series. I don't know about Boston, Miami. I feel like Boston probably still would win that one, even with a healthy Jimmy. The Philly, New York one, I definitely could see if, you know, but the thing is, Embiid had the best game of his playoff career in this series while injured, you know, is one thing. But that doesn't mean that he can do that every night as well as he would be normally if he wasn't hampered by these injuries. Because in game four, he was like an absolute dud. It was a complete like yin and yang of game three.
You just would think that everything would be more like leveled or more evened out on like, mm-hmm. because he's not injured, he's able to play more consistent.
Yeah. And then over in the Clippers-Mavs series, Kawhi, the games that he has played, the Clippers have lost those. It's like the two that they won were without Kawhi and the two that they lost were with Kawhi. And the ones with Kawhi, it was pretty obvious that, like, even though they were trying to get him, you know,
going,
yeah, involved. Get him going, knocking off the rust and stuff like that, it was like definitely hurting them as a team because their direction was not as like, you know, when
Paul George wasn't able to take over.
Exactly. In the games without Kawhi, it's like everything is kind of centered around Paul George or James Harden, and those things kind of just alternate. But with Kawhi, it becomes a little bit more fuzzy on, you know, who needs to take over when and stuff like that. And especially when Kawhi's not like 100%, he can't bail you out. Even with all like it being not as structurally sound, when everybody's healthy, it still works because of how good everybody is. But when you don't have that and you're going against another really good playoff team in the Mavericks, you know, it just doesn't, it's not enough to win those games. And then in the New Orleans Oklahoma City series, Zion, if he was there, maybe that tilts that series a little bit. But I really don't feel like the Pelicans were going to win this series no matter what.
They might have got game one.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was
about to
say. Not
because it was close, but because like, and I also wonder if Zion was around.
I think it was because it was close, right?
Well, no, it was close, but I'm more saying because of the like, Zion would have allowed the Pelicans to like drag the Thunder back into the mud pit continuously, because Zion would have had the physical ability to just do that night in and night out. Like, okay, let's stop. We're not going to play pretty. We're going to be in this physical, just knockdown, drag out,
yeah,
wear you down type of series. And yeah, I think Zion would have just done that a lot more effectively than what the Pelicans were able to do without him.
I guarantee if Zion played this series, the Pelicans would not score below 92 points every single game.
Yeah.
Which is what happened in this series, which there's no team at all has even come close this entire season. I don't even think the past like multiple seasons, there's never been a team that has gone four games in a row of not eclipsing more than 92 points.
Wow.
Like going four games in a row, not breaking 92. Like that's insane.
That is crazy.
It's just hard to do, honestly. But I think that could probably do it for the injuries. I don't know if you have a direction where you want to go next, or
I've got a rough idea.
Okay.
I was a series that was not plagued by injuries, but was ugly like it was, the Suns and the Timberwolves. And I think that this will probably be our air quotes meat of the episode, because there's like two big giant storylines hidden in this series being a sweep. And that's like, one, we'll start with the not as fun if you're the fan of this team, the Suns. Like, what happened? Not just like in the playoffs, because once we got it, just what happened this season? It just everything felt bad.
The whole season, you're saying?
Not the whole season, but like if you would have built this air quote super team and done all this stuff, and you honestly did a really nice job cobbling together your bench pieces and all,
mm-hmm.
and then you know that, oh, by the way, at the end of the season, you get swept in the first round.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Obviously, it's like when you look at it, they are in just a loaded West, and they just faced probably the second best team in the Western Conference, which not enough people were on that early. Like we both should have been. I don't know why we were considering the Suns to win the series, but I guess I'll get to that in a second. Phoenix, like what you're saying, this whole season, I was not expecting them to get like a home court seed, really a top four seed. Maybe at their ceiling, I could see them getting like the three seed is what I foresaw, just because like those three players, KD, Booker, and Beal. And then on top of that, their next two best guys going into the season were Nurkic and Eric Gordon. All five of those guys are like an average of 50 games played a season over the past like 5 years, you know? Like, they just don't play a whole lot. Booker's a little bit higher than that, but still, he's missed a good portion of a lot of seasons recently, too. And so it's like, I just don't see them being healthy enough with their guys that are being paid the big bucks, you know, to win that many games in this loaded West. And so getting the sixth seed was honestly a pretty good outcome, honestly, in my opinion, obviously. Like,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Obviously, when you're trading for Kevin Durant, and you have Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, you're hoping for more than that. But it's just, you know, they're in what I would say is arguably the best conference the league has ever seen right now, is this year's Western Conference. And that's just tough to compete in. And then on top of that, you know, going into the series, both of us were pretty like middling. We didn't know which way to go. I kind of leaned Suns, and I heard you and some other people, it wasn't just you, it was like Ryan Russillo, a lot of other talking heads going into the series saying that this was a bad matchup for the Suns, or for the Wolves, excuse me. And I remember thinking, like heading into it, like whenever I heard somebody say that, I remember off the top of my head thinking like, well, how? And I never heard anybody explain why, but I feel like that I let that influence like that. Wow, a lot of people are really feeling the Suns.
Anyway.
What?
I thought it was a bad matchup for the T-Wolves, and I leaned T-Wolves anyway.
You did, but then you changed your mind before we finished, you know, how we switched our official pick to the Suns? That same episode?
Because I let you sway me, but yes.
No, I didn't revisit. You were the one who re-brought up the whole series, and were like, I think we need to change that pick. Remember? Because you were like, you started going like, we went through a whole different series.
And no, then you, I know, but you, the things you said made me rethink. You didn't like keep pushing like, oh, I think we should swap. That's not what I said. I was more saying the like, me thinking in, about like the things that you were saying was like, yeah. And what made me the double back on it. And the other thing that when I said like the bad matchup for the T-Wolves, it's more that it was the worst matchup for the T-Wolves out of all of the bottom four.
Okay.
Is more what I like, because I think the T-Wolves would have rather played all of the other teams. Like they would have rather played the
New Orleans
Pelicans,
for sure. Yeah.
They would have rather played, honestly, maybe even the Lakers with how they match up. I feel like they would all be okay with the Lakers. I just feel like the Suns, in terms of what they do well, was the
Dallas
team they didn't want. It's easy to say after the fact, they're like, no, they're happy with the Suns now. And after Dallas has cooled off, like being like, oh yeah, of course they'd want Dallas. But Dallas was on like a crazy heater. And I also think that in my brain, like the Suns were the scariest possible version of the Suns, which I do think would be tough for the T-Wolves. But we did not get even close to the scariest version of the Suns.
Yeah.
We and got somewhere in the middle to bad.
I think it also influenced a lot of people how the last game of the season, the Suns destroyed the Wolves.
Like, and you were like, wow. And it, the Wolves very clearly weren't not kind of trying for some of the game. Like, the Wolves didn't want to lose that game.
Yeah.
And then to lose it like that was like...
Mm-hmm. So that, but yeah, that definitely swayed people's opinions. But, like, initially, like, right after game one, I remember having this epiphany of, like, honestly, I don't know why I didn't think of this beforehand, but the Wolves are actually a terrible matchup for the Suns. Like, way more than it is the other way around, in my opinion.
Vice versa.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, the Suns don't, they're not a great defensive team. And, like, Minnesota's biggest weakness is manufacturing offense. That's at least, you know, that the narrative going into the playoffs. Like, what people trusting the Wolves as a contender hinges on is them being able to manufacture offense in the playoffs. You know, that was, like, the big question
mark. Not just Ant being fast. You need something else to work for you offensively.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, like, honestly, they might not need too much to go, but, like, going against a lower half of the league defense in the Phoenix Suns.
And yeah.
And then on top of that, they have like all this size, which Phoenix is like, you know, playing a bit smaller, not by because like it's an advantage, but because they have to with their roster.
Yeah.
And then they have
outside of Nurkic, they don't have the bodies to just throw out there.
Mm-hmm. And then they have like the Wolves, they have the perfect matchups, like people to guard these ISO scores, one-on-one, like kill you guys. You know, they have Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards to throw on Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And then Bradley Beal can be guarded by, you know, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Mike Conley has always been a really good defender for how small he is. And then they have...
And especially with helping, he's really smart of how he plays defense and is able to... Not necessarily get in, like, lanes and stuff, but he's just a pest even when he's not the on-ball defender.
Exactly.
But when you have, a bunch of the top 15 on-ball defenders... I don't think that they need Mike Conley to really lock somebody down as opposed to be smart and help the way he does.
Yeah. And then on top of having all these good on-ball guys, then they have Rudy Gobert as their back line, which is the best back line in the NBA outside of maybe Victor Wembanyama. But
yeah.
And that's just, it's like, how is Phoenix, like after game one and I thought about it, like just going full hoop theory mode, like how are the Suns, how are we ever expecting them to win the series? But
yeah.
On top
Other than like the names, like all the names the Sun has was like a weird cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to see now that it's over, but like that's the only thing in my brain that I can even like, because I've been high on the T-Wolves all year.
Yeah.
Higher than most that aren't Minnesota fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
So I don't, I,
and I was saying all year that Minnesota I see is like the main contender or main threat to knock out the Nuggets in the West. And people started pushing back on me on that towards the end of the season, saying like, there's no way, I just, you know, the Minnesota, they can't score, you know, things like that, you know? And so some of that obviously swayed our pick, but at the same time, obviously like the Suns, it's just like how they played at the end of the season, especially against the Wolves.
Yeah.
It's just, threw a wrench into everything. But Minnesota obviously ended up sweeping. They're going on into the second round against the Nuggets, fabled matchup that I just alluded to.
Yeah, and I think that this is like a good way to pivot into the second half of that series being a sweep is, like, the T-Wolves, like, if you're, like, a Nuggets fan, you've got to have, like, a worried meter of at least, like, a 7, or you're delusional. That, like, this could be tough. Like, not just tough, like, this could be bad.
I guess where I could see a 7 if it just depends on where we're at on the scale, like how what's the highest like we've seen. You, yeah, what's a 10? Yeah,
so like a 10 would be, I'll be shocked if it doesn't go 7.
Oh, so it's not even like that you feel like you're gonna be destroyed. Okay.
No, like well, because I don't think the Nuggets should ever get to that level. So I guess if maybe I move my number to like a scale, like if a 10 is you think you're gonna get swept. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets at the minimum should feel like a 5. Like, this is going to be a battle.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
And it might be a battle like the Lakers series, and it only goes 5 or 6 games, but all of the games will not be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. They will be fun at the end, but during the game, they will not be fun in terms of you'll just be like, what do we do?
We might like see some ugly, relatively ugly Jokic games this series.
And I think you're going to see ugly Jamal games. And this That's is the true. Thing where you're, no, Michael Porter Jr. is going to need to, like, double lock in.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Gordon is going to be like, I can turn on my offense, which he can. I'm not saying he can't, but, like, that is not a want of Michael Malone. It is going to be a need. Like, Gordon, I need you to, like, do a lot of things. Because Jokic will still get numbers, but it will be not as efficient as we're used to seeing because of what they've built in Minnesota by former Nuggets GM. Mm-hmm. All right. Shout out to that guy.
Tim Connolly. Yep.
Connolly. Dang it. I forgot his last name. I knew it was Tim, but I couldn't remember. Anyway. And then you've got, as I think you're the one that said this, the God created a human to guard Jamal Murray, and his name is Jalen McDaniels. And that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just this archetype robot built to deal with Jamal Murray. And then you've still got so many pieces that work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're not really struggling with injuries either. They've got everybody pretty healthy.
Outside of your coach, which that's big.
I kind of heard what
he's
happened.
He might not be on the sidelines. He tore his patella tendon.
How?
Somebody ran into him. And like, when you're an older guy and like an NBA guy runs into it, he just tore his patella tendon. Patellar,
yeah. Your kneecap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like that's a borderline career ending injury for a player. It's a very serious injury.
So it's surgery in between rounds, but it'll take up to a year before feeling normal. So Mike Conley was guarding Booker down the sideline and trying to Booker was guarding Conley down the sideline and like Booker or Conley tried to flick it out to keep it in bounds. And Booker just kind of ran with his arms up down the sideline, and Finch didn't get out of the way, and it was tough. But he is getting surgery in between rounds, so I bet you Chris Finch wishes the Nuggets, for no other reason than it gave them like another day or two to like get to normal, would have lost. Because did they give an official start date for that series?
I have not looked at that yet, but I thought about looking at that today.
Is it Tuesday? For some reason, I thought I saw two. Oh, no, that's the Thunder series. No matter what happens game-wise, the next or Tuesday next week will be the start of the second round Thunder matchup.
Okay, so what day would game 7 be on for Clippers?
It has to be Sunday then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it would have to have a day between, I would think. So that must be, game 7 of Clippers Mavs, which I kind of feel like we'll probably see a game 7 of that series. Judging based on how that series has gone. Not to jump over there.
They go back and forth, yeah.
But
I'm double-checking that if you want to talk about the Timberwolves.
Yeah, because Chris Finch and Tim Connolly, it's weird how the Wolves are really just like a spawn of the Nuggets in a way. Like this Nuggets era that has formed, former coach, assistant coach, offensive coordinator Chris Finch becomes head coach there in Minnesota. And then our... the architect of this current Nuggets roster and team gets overpaid. Well, not overpaid, but paid a lot more than Denver was paying him to go over to Minnesota. And then he basically builds this team that is directly like its goal is to beat the Denver Nuggets because he knows how good of a team he built here, over there in Denver. He knew that that would be the team that he has to go through if he's going to win in Minnesota. So he wanted to double up on bigs, get a two big lineup that can, you know, put one big on Jokic defending the ball, and then have a roamer in Rudy Gobert to kind of muck everything up that goes on off of that. Jokic has started to figure out that game plan a little bit more as time has gone on. Like in the Lakers series, they stopped going to having Rui on Jokic and then AD roaming. They started actually just guarding Jokic straight up with AD. Nothing really worked, but, you know, they at least had to.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Abandon that game plan for a little bit. But, you know, what's kind of scary about this series is, you know, they have that game plan that they can go to with putting Kat on Jokic and then having Gobert roam. But then also, one of AG's best qualities as an offensive piece, at least, is like in this era that most teams are playing like a traditional three or even two guard at their four, just as like the primary position. Because of how undersized, not undersized, but just like micro ball has taken over the NBA. The four man in a lot of cases is just like another guard or wing out there on the floor. And AG, Aaron Gordon, has been like the best like mismatch hunter in that scenario, where he's just like, he knows that he's big enough and strong enough to bully whoever is going to be put in there at the four spot on most teams. And he is very deliberate about going to that and scoring in that scenario. But in this scenario, this is one of the few teams that he can't do that against, even in like the bench rules. Like they're never rolling out a four man that's like a normal NBA four man anymore. It's like everybody that's like a small ball five or
yeah,
you know, or
it's
like
an actual four. It's crazy that we just called a regular power forward, not that it's wrong, but yeah, just called a small ball five. It's just a four. You
yeah,
know what
but,
I mean?
But some of them are even like, I mean, Kat's like a traditional five in between. He's like a tweener 4-5, you know, and he's the guy that's starting at their four.
Yeah.
And then Kyle Anderson is like, he's just a straight up four.
Thought you're going to bring up my guy, Naz Reid.
Naz Reid is a probably in the traditional, like all time traditional, like go back to like 2004 or whatever. Naz Reid's probably a power forward. But in the past like 15 years, he's like definitely
a
center.
The way he plays, he's a five.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have, and that's the other thing, is Jokic is a getting people into foul trouble wizard.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time he gets the starting big in trouble, and then he has like a couple minutes to work just freely, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah.
But the Timberwolves don't give you that, because they're just the depth at that spot.
Also that, like even with that though, Jokic has not been doing that this postseason and most of this season ever since like the foul thing has kind of changed. Oh. He had zero attempts in game five. He had zero free throws.
Yeah, I didn't. He also had like a pretty solid defender on him.
That's true.
That doesn't play dumb. But I guess I didn't even think about like the fact that we've got the playoff whistle was already in place.
Yeah.
As of the All-Star break, so now we have kind of like a double playoff whistle.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no, anyway, I still get what you're saying. Yeah, even if he were to get some people in foul trouble, there's just so many bodies.
It's fresh
that
legs.
They can,
there's, yeah. It's just fresh legs even at that point then. But mm-hmm. I think the T-Wolves are a legitimate, like, I still lean Nuggets for sure.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's Nuggets and six, and I lean seven more than five.
I feel like I agree with that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I lean Nuggets just because of like, they've done it, but I will not be shocked in the slightest at all if the T-Wolves come out and punch the Nuggets in the nose game one.
They
just
could.
Anyway, that's going to be very fun. That might be, we'll make a game work, because I think that might be the most fun, be the most fun series we see all playoffs.
I agree. It could be.
Another one that, this one can probably go pretty quick. I just thought that the Thunder did win in the fashion they should have. They were the one seed. The eight seed didn't have their best player. They got things done. They swept with how beat up the Mavs and or Clippers are going to be coming out of this series. And I have it confirmed. John Hollinger.
Hollinger, I think. But yeah.
Hollinger.
Hollinger. Yeah.
We were supposed to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. Sorry, gamer.
That's all right.
I wanted to do a clean break in between.
Yeah, I think that works, honestly, what you just did.
Yeah. So we are back, jumping back into it now in a more official capacity. Update, Logan, on the Sixers game. It went to overtime.
Yeah, I just saw that.
The John Hollinger. Hollinger.
Hollinger.
Hollinger. Anyway, John Hollinger says, based on the league schedule email, it looks like the second round series for the Thunder won't start until Tuesday, regardless of when Clippers-Thunder ends. The Clippers-Thunder last game.
Regardless of when Clippers-Mavs.
He does have the tweet wrong. It does say Thunder in the tweet.
Oh, okay.
But it is whenever the Clippers-Mavericks ends. OKC will have 7 full days off and will have only played 4 games in 23 days. Could it be wasted on a team that doesn't need it more?
Like, that's true. There a team? That's very true.
But anyway, the last game, Game 7, if necessary, would be on Sunday, May 5th, meaning the Mavericks and or Clippers will come out of a 7-game series, get one day off, and then have to head to Oklahoma City.
To play the youngest team in the playoffs.
That has essentially had a full offseason for their bodies.
Yeah.
They get a whole week off. Craziness, but that is the NBA scheduling. Mm-hmm. That could change, I'm sure, but that is because that's not like also like posted anywhere. I haven't seen that anywhere except for that guy's tweets. So, but that's not just a random guy. Even though I don't want to say his name, I definitely know he's like an actual person.
Yeah.
But what do you feel like are their chances? Not just in that series, but like, do they have a chance to mess around? Let's say. Perfect scenario for the Thunder. Clippers, Mavericks go 7. They're able to dispatch the other team because they're beat up and tired in, let's say, 5. We won't say they sweep them. Then they get a break, assuming that Nuggets T-Wolves is a giant long slog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's best case scenario for the Thunder. They slipped into the 1 seed, so they get to be at home. Is there any universe where we think... Obviously, barring a giant injury.
Oh, okay.
That, yeah. Because, like, yeah, if, like, Jokic goes down, the Thunder suck at basketball. Like, that's kind of how it goes.
The Nuggets suck at basketball.
Gosh, geez Louise. I'm
Everybody's the Thunder.
Everybody's the Thunder. Yeah. No, if Ant goes down, the T-Wolves will score 50 points.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Barring all of those things, is there a world where the Thunder end up representing the West in the finals? And the thing is, why that's a best case scenario, it's not the best. I don't think it's all that unlikely. Like, I feel like that's very feasible to happen.
The injuries. Or not, even without the injuries.
Just that scenario happening of the Thunder will play, because if they played 4 games in 23 days, by that point, they will have played 5 games in like 40 days, or sorry, 9 games in like 40 days.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a negative.
Facing two really easy
series in a row, not really being put in positions where they had to, you know, learn lessons with such a young team.
Maybe. So you don't think there's really any chance that...
I wouldn't say chance.
Obviously, it's not zero, but like...
But I feel like whoever wins Denver-Minnesota probably is going to the finals.
Is going to be the betting odd favorite to go to the finals out of the West.
Yeah.
Really without question.
Especially if we're taking major injuries out of the equation, like the most major, like Jokic and maybe Jamal, we'll toss him in there. But if there's, I could see definitely if like KCP is out and probably something on top of that would have to be even out for me to feel like the Thunder are
favored.
Like the favorite.
And not just able to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, outside of that, I feel like the Nuggets would probably handle them. But I guess I should go back to what I just said about whoever wins against, between Nuggets and Wolves going to the finals. If it's the Wolves that come out, I feel a lot better about the Thunder's chances.
You feel like it's a lot closer than the Thunder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the Thunder's chances. Okay.
Yeah. because Nuggets are kind of the absolute worst matchup, I would say, for the Thunder in the Western Conference. But Minnesota is like, there's, I mean, like OKC is not one of the major teams. It's like, because I mean, yes, they're smaller, but Minnesota doesn't really have bigs that are like going to bully smaller teams. Like Rudy Gobert, you're not worried about Gobert bullying smaller teams, really.
Yeah.
But like, and Kat isn't like the bullying type. Naz Reid would be really the only one left, and I'm not too worried about him, you know, just bullying Chet. I don't really see that happening all that much to sway a series, you know. So I feel pretty decent about OKC's chances in that case, to be honest.
I feel so good about Ant.
But then OKC actually is probably, they might be the best team in this Western Conference equipped to guard Ant.
Because they can match his speed. Closer than they
got Lu Dort, they got Jalen Williams, and then if the those two chamber. Don't work, those two don't work. They got Cason Wallace coming off the bench. All three of those guys.
Which also, I can't believe we forgot to do this. Shout out to Cason Wallace for when that like first playoff game of his career, the Pelicans looked like they might steal game one. Cason Wallace took CJ McCollum and put him in an effing box.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I was. I can't believe I forgot to talk about that last episode. That was awesome. The fact that it was like big moment, first game as a rookie, playoff game as a rookie, and then just absolutely put the shackles on CJ McCollum.
Yep.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Nowhere to pass, nowhere to do any. He wouldn't have passed, but that's not the point. Nowhere to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was glorious.
Yeah. So
that was game one, right? I think I've got too much memory of it. It has to be game one.
Yeah, I think that was the only game that was in a clutch scenario.
The rest of them have been a little bit ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the Charles Barkley saying where New Orleans is going to go, where the Pelicans are going to go on vacation?
Is it San Antonio?
It's Galveston.
I still can't get over in the play-in game, Charles Barkley, like Kenny Smith giving him like a legitimate like compliment or like a fair player comp. Like I see a lot of shades of you, Charles, in Zion's game.
A
legit comp, and then Charles Barkley goes, "Yeah, because we're both black."
Yeah.
I'm very glad that the like funny joke rivalry between Charles Barkley and San Antonio women is back. And alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
But when
did it die? I feel like it
didn't get brought up that much.
Oh, had a little bit of hiatus.
And then since San Antonio has been like put back into the spotlight because of Wemby,
yeah,
it's just back.
Mm-hmm.
It's back and well. It's never gone away, but it's just.
Yeah.
I will take work off.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Every single time, I shouldn't say this actually, when all of them pass away, I will take off work. And like a memoriam of all of them.
All four of the inside like, the NBA
and
guys.
Different entities. They all deserve.
Yeah.
They all bring so much to the table.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Ernie Johnson, that's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley honestly grows on me more and more and more. And without him playing basketball, somehow climbs up my goat ladder, but he's not playing anymore.
That's true. I can see
anyway,
that.
Anyway, and then Shaq is obviously Shaq. And it's chef's kiss art.
It's beautiful. I was telling Tasia, my wife, the other day when we were watching, I don't remember which game it was, but I think it was Celtics Heat. They played last night, right? Before the Nuggets. Yeah. Because I was, you know, we were behind by quite a bit and I wanted to catch up a little bit so I could start the Nuggets game around when a live tip-off was.
Close. Because for those that don't know the background, I usually try not to text Logan about like Nugget stuff until I know for sure he's kind of sort of caught up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, or I'll text him extraordinarily vague, like in game one or two when LeBron just sent Jamal packing.
Yeah.
I was like, my lord, LeBron. And then you're like, what? And then I was like, oh. And I just keep it vague. I don't be like, this is crazy. The score is this. I keep it vague for him.
Yeah.
But it was wild.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, yeah, well, I was like skipping ahead in that Heat Celtics game. And I was like thinking of, oh, I'll probably skip ahead to sometime in the second half. But then as I was skipping and I looked down to see what channel the game was playing on, I saw it was TNT. I was like, okay, I got to stop at the halftime report. Like, I have to, you know. And then I just made the thought of, like, it's funny how that is the complete opposite for when it's ESPN. Like, if it's ESPN, I will, even if I'm live, I'll leave during
the halftime. Go do something. Actively go do something else.
Yeah, during the halftime report. And then, like, come back.
But I'm shocked that they haven't, ESPN has not tried to offer them, like, just disgusting money to all leave.
Honestly. Yeah. Because I think, with just having the backing of Disney's money, they have to be way more powerful than Turner is.
Unless that they've got some sort of loyalty, like, dug in.
Yeah.
Ernie's not going anywhere, so none of them are going anywhere.
Yeah, could be that. I could see that with Chuck, for sure. He's pretty, sticks to his guns with that kind of stuff. He still won't let 2K use his likeness. That's why there's a halftime report there, it's everybody except for Chuck. Because he wants them to pay all of them $1 million each for, I don't know if it's like a per thing, but yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
It's wild.
Anyways, yeah, that just goes to show how good that crew in that show, how much of a iconic like thing they have going there. But anyways, going back to what we were talking about, players on the Thunder to guard Ant, they just have a lot.
They have more than anybody else probably does.
Yeah, I would say Clippers are probably second.
Yep.
Out here in the West, but they don't have as much of the speed. They have more of the size that can handle it.
That can hit, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to see.
We are going to be doing our funnest teams to watch draft, and I almost want to remove Ant from the Timberwolves and give him his own, like, pick. Because just him is just...
He's a cheat code. So much
fun.
Yeah.
He just is like an actually good at basketball version of Keisei Tominaga. You can tell he just loves basketball. Not in how they play. I'm talking about Keisei's not an NBA player. That's what I mean by actually good.
But like personality-wise even, I can kind of see some overlap.
They just love basketball.
Okay. They play joyfully.
Yes. That's the only point I was trying to hit with it. And round things to Nebraska basketball, because why else would I do anything? It's like they both just like everything. Ant is like anything happens outside of losing, he's just happy about playing.
Mm-hmm. He's playing against his idol in Kevin Durant and just talking trash to him the whole time.
Just put like, and then after the series, he's like, I'm looking forward to the Olympics so I can keep doing this.
Yeah, because they'll be teammates on Team USA for those that don't know. So that'll be, and also just kind of jumping to something else, but it reminded me of in that game the other night between Boston and Miami, Bam Adebayo, how he got under Jason Tatum on that dead ball shot. How they're pretty good friends historically. Like I remember them having like really friendly exchanges in the past, and they're going to be teammates on Team USA. I didn't really see much of like what happened between them after that. Are they like cool still, or are they mad at each other?
I think that Jason Tatum is kind of a dick during the season to everyone.
Oh, really?
During games? I think because like Jason Tatum's guy is Kobe.
Yeah.
So I think like during games, he's like
locked in on that.
Locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't step to me type of thing.
Yeah.
No, but so, people are convinced that Bam is a Celtic because of how close him and Jason Tatum are. Or were. I don't think that's changed.
Okay.
That's not, fiscally, that's not a possibility unless Jaylen Brown's leaving if we lose
or
like next round.
Or Porzingis or something like that.
No, Tingus Pingus is retiring as Celtic.
You'll play both them together, Bam and Kristaps? That could work. It could work.
Well, we already found Al Horford's replacement in Xavier Tillman.
Xavier Tillman?
And we're not going to talk about awards, but I don't have to commit arson.
That's true.
Shout out.
I saw that today.
Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't super close, which made me happy. That, like, just because he had riches, the fact that he, like...
Can we say what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Brad Stevens won Executive of the Year. Yeah. Sorry. Uh-huh. Is it the Red Auerbach trophy?
I think it's coach. I don't know if executive has a name, honestly.
Give it to Donald Sterling. Sorry. Also, that clipped documentary looks like it's going to suck.
I thought that was like a drama. Is it not? It's not a documentary, is it? It's like an actor played.
It's like the O.J. Simpson documentary that Fox did a couple years ago. It's like a multi-part TV series that's supposed to be a portrayal of events that happened.
But it's still called a documentary?
Band of Brothers is a documentary, technically, I think.
What is that?
Like the greatest World War II collection of film video thing. It's like guys reenacting as they're part of the 101st Airborne, Easy Company.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's very worth watching and it's very good. I am a history nerd, like loser, kind of, sort of. So that maybe enhances it for me. But Band of Brothers is all time.
Okay.
Like, I guarantee your dad's watched Band of Brothers. Like, I would bet a pretty penny.
But even though it's like a dramatized, like, actor portrayal, right?
Yes.
But it's still called a documentary. Is that just because of how...
it's a mini-series. I'm confusing words. It's just a mini-series is what they are called.
I don't think that's mutually exclusive with documentary. I think you could have
It's not.
Yeah.
It's but it's a portrayal of real-life thing in a mini-series, but obviously they don't have everything perfect.
Yeah.
Like, Fox did one on O.J. Simpson that was very well done a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
anyway,
but yeah, they got full actors. Yeah, it does feel like it wouldn't be good. Just
I think it's going to be really, really bad.
If just based on like the clips from the trailer, it seems kind of cheesy.
It seems like over the top.
Yeah.
Weird.
I agree. But I'm still going to watch it, obviously, because it's a basketball related thing. Yeah. We need more of that. Even though, like, especially with Winning Time being canceled, that was premature. But yeah. I guess going back to, I don't know how we even got on that, but so we were talking about Celtics.
See, we did so good. We made it like an hour and 10 minutes without any shenaniganizing. And then I apologize.
I don't remember how that came up at all, honestly.
We were talking about the Thunder.
Well, this was a little bit of a detour how we were talking about Boston, Miami.
Yeah.
But I think we can wrap that up. I don't know if we are wanting to continue with the OKC, their chances, because I feel like we kind of put a button on that overall, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
So.
Knicks lost game 6.
They did lose?
The Knicks lost,
Let's
yeah.
Let's go. I'm cheering for Philly. I've been cheering for them, even though Knicks are really lovable.
Yeah, I for sure want it to be Philly, 1,000,000%. I get a chance to beat Philly in the conference finals if they get past the Pacers. Uh-huh. And it's going to be an even more hobbled Joel Embiid because he's going to have to keep playing through everything that he's playing through now.
Wouldn't you want to play against a fully healthy Embiid?
Yes, but that's not possible. In a perfect world, I would play 2K with injuries off.
Yeah,
and obviously. I would get the Heat with Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, and I would get everyone healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics will play everyone in a one game series and they will gauntlet through the whole NBA.
A one game series?
Like you win, you advance to the next team in the gauntlet. You know what I'm saying? Like you, like Celtics, you beat the Pistons, boom. Beat the Spurs, boom. And you keep working your way up the whole NBA standings. Everyone's healthy.
But it's single elimination?
Yeah. Give it to me. I'm ready.
Okay.
Hold on, I will be right back. I should have grabbed this earlier.
All right. Jacob has just got up and departed. I'm one with the audience right now. I have no idea what to expect. He's been gone now for upwards of 30 seconds.
The fact that I forgot to wear this for today's recording. Derek motherfucking White, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Soldier, 38 points, 8 three-pointers made. He is an enigma, and you cannot stop him. He is him. He will always be. He is the alpha. He's also the omega. He is everything. I'm not convinced that Derek White is not Jesus Christ. That was... yesterday was so good. That was so fun to watch.
Yeah. Whew. No, yeah, great. That was the game of his career for sure. The previous best playoff game of his career might have been.
Was also against the Heat. Game six.
Oh, you're counting that one? I was going all the way back to 2019, the Nuggets-Spurs series, with the game that put Derek White on the map. I don't even remember what he had, but I don't think he was like a... That's like my first memory of Derek White, was that series, him just having a random like 28-point game or something like that. Yeah, but anyways.
I just wish so bad he did not go to Colorado. That's like the only bad part about him.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Yeah, and that was like part of the storyline of like he's a Colorado kid, he grew up there and everything, and
he's from Parker.
Yeah, and he was doing that against the Nuggets, but yeah, so he's a Celtic now, and
forever. If they let him leave, there will be riots in the streets.
Is he the most beloved Celtic right now?
Yeah, I thought about it and then I realized it's not close. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Outside of like the bench guys that don't play that can't ever like make us mad on the court, you know?
Like who? O'Shea Brissett? Is he loved?
Yeah. Jordan Walsh is really loved.
Oh yeah, for sure. Jordan Walsh.
Like those guys that like G League time, actually, this whole Celtics squad is pretty universally kind of embraced. The only people that the people that catch the most hate are probably Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I could see that for
and
sure.
And Jaylen Brown way more than Tatum. Tatum has just been catching a lot more flack because he's just been a lot quieter this playoffs. He's still averaging like 20-something a game, but it's just really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of struggles.
Yeah, and Boston I think Boston, more than any other team in this whole league, is like... they can still win pretty consistently, even if their best two players aren't good.
And I think the thing that also is like, doesn't bug me, is because neither of them will stay bad for very long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if like they want to pick a series to kind of lay some eggs, lay away against Miami.
Yeah.
Because we got the Buffalo Soldier fighting for us night in and night out.
Mm-hmm. But now obviously it's quite a bit thinner without KP. That takes a pretty big ding to that dynamic. But I guess looking at that Cleveland-Orlando series, which is who you'll be facing, the victor of that one, do you have any thoughts on that series so far? Or like who would you rather face between those two?
Cleveland, I think.
You would rather play Cleveland?
I think.
Yeah, I would choose
even
that
though
too.
Cleveland is like the boogeyman, like Boston, I only think beat Cleveland once.
Oh, in the Donovan Mitchell era, basically?
No, like this season specifically. Like that was the Dean Wade game that ended our like 16-game win streak.
But you lost Dean Wade... game.
And that's what I mean.
You said you like, beat them once. And you said that was the Dean...
I think this season we only beat them once.
Oh.
Like one of our mini losses was... Maybe we beat them twice. I should check before I get eaten alive on the internet.
But the Dean Wade game was one of your losses.
Yes, because he was 5 for 5 from 3-point land in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty crazy. But they've been missing him in his postseason. They've not had Dean Wade this whole time due to injury. But Orlando, this has been a weird series. Like Cleveland blew them out the first two games, and then Orlando.
That must be crazy. We literally beat them 2 out of 3 times. Maybe I'm mixing up last year. We lost to him twice last year.
Yeah,
I'm
think
combining
you
years.
Mm-hmm. So,
but
Orlando, you know, they came back and blew out Cleveland the next two games. So it's tied up 2-2 now. And Orlando is looking like the team that I thought they would look like coming into the series. Because, you know, obviously our pick was Orlando in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that, like, just they would be able to lock down the Cavs and be able to manufacture some transition offense and stuff. And that's what started to happen in these last two games. So I kind of feel pretty good about Orlando coming out of that one. And I feel like also Boston least wants to play Orlando because of, like, Orlando just has a gear defensively that no other team has other than the Timberwolves, I feel like. I think that the Magic have the second most scary defense in this whole playoffs. Maybe Boston is in the running for that for sure. And honestly, Cleveland is up there too. But
when I think the difference between like what puts those top two teams on a different tier is the sheer consistency of it. There's never like a weird bad closeout night and the Heat hit 23 threes. Like that's not a thing that happens to those two teams. As I say that, Cleveland has somehow made the Magic randomly kind of like look weird on defense. And this kind of is like one of the things I want to talk about is like where we've been right and where we've been wrong this year in terms of like the playoffs. Game three of this Magic Cavs series was exactly what we thought the games would be like, of where the Magic just kind of smothered Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that game, Game four was a little bit like that too. It just hasn't been the series I thought it would. It's a good series. It's just not the series I thought it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And just as an update, it's 80-79 right now in the early minutes of the fourth quarter. So this is definitely the tightest game that they've played so far. But yeah, it's definitely been a weird series. Like Cleveland, right out of the gates, punched Orlando in the mouth in a way that I was not expecting. But then they basically, Orlando did like the same thing back to them, but even more, I'm pretty sure. At least point differential wise, I think Magic is ahead in this series.
But like the Magic only scoring in the 80s is like, okay.
That makes
sense. Cleveland only scoring in the 80s, you're like, what is going on?
Honestly, based off of, I don't know if they scored in the 80s last year at all, but they definitely were very grogged down offensively in the playoffs against the Knicks. And that was kind of like part of our prediction, or at least mine.
Of why we thought it could go that way.
Yeah, because then playing against like a really tough defense like that might be able to slow some things down, hone in on stuff that Cleveland is kind of like a one-trick pony in some ways, even though they have a good amount of talent. It's just like it's everything on offense is coming through their backcourt. Those two guys. And then outside of that, they don't have a lot of other options because they're limited. Spacing with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, the two non-shooters playing together. And then what really swings things for them, because of when you take away everything, then all that's left is like that three man who's in there, that guy being able to consistently make catch and shoot threes. And then this series, they really haven't, you know, whether it's been Max Strus, George Niang, Caris LeVert out there, any of those guys. Dean Wade would be in that spot theoretically if he was healthy. But yeah, none of those guys have really been consistent from beyond so far this series. And so that's been a big key point of the Cavs' struggles, especially in games 3 and 4. But yeah, so that's why I just feel pretty good about the Magic closing this one out. Very young team that is like it's just such a fun team. I love the size on that team, all across the positions, just so much grit on defense. A lot of talent. Franz Wagner had his welcome to, you know, the NBA playoffs game last game with a 36-point game, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I guess that will probably do it for that series unless you have more thoughts there.
Nope.
And then on to Milwaukee, Indiana with those injuries.
It's a wrap tonight.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm like, who is the hero for them?
Chris Middleton.
That, as a Boston fan? You sold me, actually. Probably, you're right. That's probably who's going to do it. He's going to do that weird thing where he turns into Michael Jordan with bug eyes, and he's unstoppable.
Yeah. In game three, was that game three? What was the game that Tyrese Halliburton had the game-winning floater? Is that game three?
Yes.
It was
not four.
Yeah, I was either two or three, I think. But I think it was three. But yeah, that game, that was the game that Chris Middleton... Like they were down by three, and Chris Middleton just hits this crazy, almost out of bounds, three to tie it, send it over to overtime, and then in the late closing seconds of overtime, they were down by three again, and he did it again. And then Tyrese was able to hit that floater there on the last play, which he like completely shook Pat Bev out of his boots, which was just, that play was just so fun to watch. Cause I just love guys that like Tyrese Haliburton that you can see that he's clearly like very, like he's thinking the game while he's playing it, you know? And like he's coming up, like bringing the ball up the court, and Miles Turner's up there to give him the high screen, which is a very common action they run. And Pat Bev, you can see that he's starting to cheat toward the screen a little bit, and he turns his head. And as soon as he starts turning his head to look at the screen coming, Tyrese Haliburton switches back the other way and goes right by him, and then gets, you know, down the lane and gets an open floater. So like plays like that is just really fun to watch. Even though Tyrese Haliburton has not been like his best self for a while now.
Yeah, we haven't seen it since All-Star break.
Yeah.
If not even before that.
Mm-hmm. So, but like, even though we haven't had a lot of that, that game, especially towards the end, it was good to see Tyrese kind of reach back into that bag a little bit. But yeah, if the Bucks are to stay alive, I think Chris Middleton has to have a huge game. Like, not just a big game, but like a huge game. And Bobby Portis also would have to go off for sure. Brook Lopez, like everybody just has to bring their A game. They're playing Gallo like minutes now. That's kind of in 2024. It feels like they're kind of reaching for something now. Not quite as bad as the Heat. You know how, you know, deep on their bench they were kind of pulling guys recently, like Patty Mills and stuff like that.
Who's honestly been the scariest player of the series.
Yeah. Well, since he started playing.
Yeah, when they started playing him, you're like, he's going to just do something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's so fast. How is he so fast?
He's so old.
Still. Yeah. And he's so old. And he's so fluid with everything.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Spurs Patty Mills that, like, my brain was like, yeah, he's a pretty good passer. Not this, like, I'm a flamethrower. Fear me. When did this change in my brain?
I think he's always been a flamethrower, but maybe just because he was wearing a Spurs jersey, you assumed he was more of like a team basketball, you know, type of guy.
He's always been a
flamethrower at the point guard position.
Yeah, it's just terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Tyrese Maxey had 46 points tonight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Second highest in the Garden ever for a on the road team, like a team traveling into Madison Square Garden
in the playoffs.
46 points
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, that would make sense. That's pretty wild. But yeah, I guess outside of that, we can probably wrap this thing up. There was one note that I had written down that we didn't touch on that was all the way back in the Denver LA conversation.
Oh,
because and since we're towards the end here, I feel like we could probably just
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Circle back to that. The note I had was about the timeout thing. I don't know if you watched like the post game of that of the Nuggets Lakers game last night.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you're probably in bed because it's a West Coast game. But so Charles Barkley was confused on why the Lakers lost their last timeout, even though they won their challenge, and. It was one of those weird moments where, like, on a studio show or like when you're watching something that, like, nobody there seemed, even the producers apparently didn't know the answer, unless if they did, they didn't communicate it well, or, you know, Ernie Johnson was not able to even comprehend,
discern the correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when they came back from commercial break and they like had an answer, basically, Ernie was just like, even, you know, they made their challenge. You need a timeout to use your challenge. And so then they don't get another challenge or a timeout, even though they won it, which is like, it's a somewhat true explanation, but it's not really the answer that Chuck was really looking for. The reason why they didn't get their timeout back is because since they added this rule this year, which is like an addition to the challenge rule is now you're able to have two challenges if you win your first one. In the past, it was you get one challenge, and if you win it, you retain your timeout. You get your timeout back. Now, it's if you win your challenge, you get another challenge, and you get your timeout back. But on the second challenge, you lose your timeout regardless.
It gives you the ability to challenge two things if you are cooking,
mm-hmm.
but you lose your timeout.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just on the second one. So that was the whole reason why the Lakers lost their final timeout, which I think you can, I'm fine with somebody disagreeing on that rule, thinking they should be able to get it back. Because, you know, the thing that Kenny Smith said was like, why should we lose a timeout when it's the refs that made the mistake? Like, you know, like they're the one. And I kind of feel that way about challenges in general. I don't think they should, but obviously this might be a thing that prolongs the game a lot, but I like how in volleyball you can challenge and continue to challenge as long as you're winning your challenges.
Yep.
You know, because it's like, why should you be penalized or like lose something of value when the refs make a mistake, you know? So
if, yeah.
I just feel like you should be able to use a challenge. Like the only time you lose your challenge is when you actually lose it. But
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
Also, another thing that I wanted to kind of touch on, Logan's okay, everyone. As a lot of people probably saw online, there was big tornadoes in Nebraska.
Oh,
I was nowhere near any of them because this might blow people's minds. Nebraska is like not just like one place. It's like kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
It was close to Logan and yeah. He's okay.
Uh-huh. It was very close to me. I was in a tornado watch for a while. I was hiding out in the basement and I saw a very large dark cloud out my back door. But
if you would have went outside, you probably would have for sure seen the nadir. It was like giant. Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the one that was near me was not quite as big, but the one that reaped a lot of the destruction that I'm sure a lot of people are probably seeing videos online, yeah. and stuff of online was like 6 miles north of me. And I know people, some family and friends, people that witnessed it. But and also I just drove through that area of Omaha yesterday and saw a lot of the wreckage, like especially with like this place, like kind of this wooded area right outside Omaha, just like all these trees are just completely ripped. Destroyed and ripped up.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. So
it looks like someone like wood chippered the trees. It's
mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. And there's like lots of houses with just the roofs torn off and completely flattened and stuff like that. It's pretty wild. I haven't heard about too much. Have like casualties. I'm not sure.
Zero.
Oh, really?
The Nebraska storms had zero loss of life. Iowa, I believe there was two. In Oklahoma, there was also a couple reported because there was some in Oklahoma the next day, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay.
But it was all kind of the same system moving through.
So is this a big national story? It's hard to tell.
A bit.
But.
Because it was, it was pretty big. Mm. I mean, if you think about it, what's Omaha in terms of like population of, like big city,
it's like 40. It'd be like 42,
but like if
something like that.
If like
40th is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
If like a tornado hit any of them around it, it would be a story. Even if it like
yeah,
I get technically it was Elkhorn, but it to Which anyone it, that doesn't know, it's just Omaha.
Technically it is actually Omaha because Elkhorn is it was annexed in 2008, I believe.
Oh,
but what's weird? This is a weird rabbit hole, but what's weird about that is like Millard is another part of Omaha that was annexed, but that one was back in the '80s. Anything in Millard has an Omaha address, but everything in Elkhorn still has Elkhorn. Like it says Elkhorn, Nebraska, as their address still, even though they're technically Omaha now, which I find odd. But don't know the reason
Bellevue
for that.
And Papillion, they have their own addresses, but they're all annexed too.
Bellevue's not annexed.
Papillion is then.
I actually don't think they are. No, because they
is
they
La Vista?
La Vista, maybe. I'm pretty sure Papillion can't be because they're the county seat of Sarpy County. I don't think they could be a county seat if they're not even a town.
Oh, yeah. And then Ralston will never be annexed until they pay off their debt.
Yeah, that and also Waterloo apparently is like, which they're pretty far out of Omaha, but apparently like they've been like the people there want to be annexed by Omaha, but Omaha does not want to annex them. It's not a two-way relationship there.
Silly metropolitan politics.
Yeah. In Nebraska, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, for those, I don't know if people knew that, I guess. I think we've mentioned
the tornadoes, I'd assume. Maybe.
But I mean, I was about to say that me and you, like, we, even though I think people assume we probably lived like near each other.
Yeah, we would record in person if it was like an hour drive. I would just drive and go see, but it's not that close.
Yeah,
it's like a strong 3 hours.
2.5, 3 hours, yeah. Probably three. Yeah.
You're on the edge of town. I'm on the wrong side of town now, though. I'm on the west side of town now, so it's definitely three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not a very, you know, just quick trek to make. And yeah, so even though Nebraska, people don't really think of it as a big place, I think it's above average or around average of a state in terms of total area. Like compared to the East Coast, it's definitely a lot bigger.
I live where no one lives, though. That's like the thing. It's like you're like the only part of Nebraska that people know where it's at, Lincoln, Omaha. That's true.
But in terms of Nebraska, though, you're in a pretty highly populated area.
Like fifth, I think. If you don't count all the Omaha thingies, I think I think we're fifth
Bellevue,
or sixth.
I believe, is third biggest. I think it's Omaha, Lincoln, Bellevue, and Grand Island is fourth, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Kearney's.
I think Kearney's got to be up there.
With Hastings, probably around the same level.
Yeah.
And those are all together, the Tri-Cities, right? Is that what they call them? Yeah,
It's like the Tri-City area is Grand Island, Hastings, Kearney.
Yeah, they make a triangle. Yeah, well, there's a little bit of Nebraska corner for everybody to enjoy or skip over, I'm sure.
We got swept by Creighton in baseball.
Really?
Irritated, yeah. Bye. Patreon, coffee. I'm angry. Let's wrap it up. I'm mad now. I didn't even think about it. I saw the final. We suck at baseball. Stupid.
I didn't know you cared enough about baseball to get mad at it. Just because Creighton?
Get irrational about Nebraska anything.
Yeah, especially when it's the Creighton Blue Jays.
Also, we are so good at football. You gamers are not ready. You are not, we are going to go like 10-2. The world is not ready for Nebraska football.
I feel like I hear this all the time.
No.
Is different this time?
We have the number one recruit of quarterback. Like, that's a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, as advertised, a dog. We're going to be good.
They haven't played a game yet.
They played spring game.
Oh, they did play the spring game.
Our defense was top 15 last year. And our offense, it felt like our defense maybe took a little step down, but our offense, like, matched. Like, our offense is just leaps better. Anyway, let's wrap this puppy up.
Yeah.
Because we did a pretty good job staying on topic today. A lot of good NBA stuff.
Yes. So, one thing that I forgot to mention, this is with wrapping up, though. Mailbag. We need to do that. And so, this will be something that I can clip out and put onto social media. We are going to start a mailbag here pretty soon. We'll have an email address set up for that. I'll set it up. I'll put it on the screen or in the description of this clip that you're watching.
Or maybe both.
Yeah, probably both. So you'll be able to find that there. So please email your questions in to the show, and we will have either a whole episode or just, you know, at least a segment going through some of those questions, whatever we get. I know that we'll get at least one or two because I've already gotten a few DMs from people saying that they had questions or, you know, things that they would want us to do a video on, basically. And I was like, well, we're going to do a mailbag. So we've already got some people lined up for that. Just definitely, you know, send in your questions. We will try our best to answer them and give, you know, thoughtful, fun commentary conversation that will get spawned off of that. Some of them might end up clips, I'm sure. So, do that, and we will talk to you guys next time. That was kind of the outro of that clip. Moving on to the rest of the outro. On Spotify or wherever you're listening, please follow the show, follow the feed, rate the show. Do it 5 stars, whatever you want, but preferably 5 stars. That would make me feel the best. And then on YouTube, subscribe. And on Patreon, go over there. It's patreon.com/hooptheory as well as buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory for one-time donations if you want to help us out. Keep making content. And all the links to all this stuff should be found in the episode description, as well as the show description, wherever you're watching or listening to this. And lastly, I would like to just thank everybody for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. Please stay happy and stay healthy. We will talk to you guys next episode.
Peace!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.